Let the blessed lift up their hands this morning and worship the King of Glory. Those who are blessed already in your going out and your coming in, be blessed in everything you do. Be blessed everywhere you go. Give God thanks this morning. Give him praise and honor. Give him all adoration. Exalt and magnify him. Father, we thank you. Lord, we worship you. Blessed and blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. If you take note of the wordings of that song, it says, everything you do will prosper. Why, even where men say there is a casting down, for you, you will say there is a lifting up. Amen. Why is that? Because you are blessed. The blessed don't struggle. The blessed are just blessed. People will be wondering, how is it? Why is it working for you? It's not working for you because it's blessed. Don't tell them, because I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
And use that, your blessed hand, to welcome somebody this morning. Welcome someone this morning with that, those blessed hands of yours. Tell that neighbor you are blessed indeed, in Jesus' marvelous name. Put those hands together for the Lord. Please be seated a moment. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Holy One. Speak to us again in this second service, and let your name be glorified. Let the blessings of your people rain down in this service. Let them go home with their testimonies, and let the people be saved and blessed in Jesus' precious name. Teaching series, Unveiling the Breakthrough Power of Love. Unveiling the Breakthrough Power of Love, and this will be part 3B. Unveiling the Breakthrough Power of Love. And we have learned all through the month that the capital proof of our love for God is to serve him. That's the capital proof of our love for God, is to serve him. 1 John 3:18, he said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us not love in word, neither let us love in tongue. It is, let us love in deed and in truth. In other words, anybody can say to you, I love you, but true love is proven in action. Anyone can say, I love you, but those who truly love you will prove it. Words are not enough when it comes to love. True love is in deed. It is with action. True love should be in deed, and it is done in action. CSB translation of that scripture says, little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. Let us not love in words or speech, but let our love be in action and in truth. 2 Corinthians 8:8, and to prove the sincerity of your love. So we prove our love in action. We prove our love in deed. The love that is in deed will lead you to action. And true love for God results in undeniable breakthrough. You can't love God genuinely and remain on the same spot. Paul said to Timothy, you are a lover of God, which means there is a deposit of breakthrough in you. Every lover of God have a deposit of breakthrough in them, but it is stirred up in service. It needs to be stirred before we can lay hold on it. It needs to be stirred. Like I said last Sunday, if you are given tea and there is no sugar, it's not that there is no sugar in it. There is sugar in it, but you need to stir it up. To enjoy the sugar in the tea, you need to stir it. To enjoy the deposit of breakthrough on the inside of you and I, we need to stir it up in service. So he said to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, he said, wherefore I put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee through the laying on of hands. Stir it up. There is a man in scriptures that loved God but died a pauper. This man was a true, genuine lover of God, but the breakthrough deposit in him was never stirred. He died a pauper. The Bible says he was a prophet. The Bible talks about him as a very great man. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. It says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. You know that this servant is a man that feared God and is a true servant of God. And he said, but what happened? He says, and the creditor is come to take unto him my sons to be the bondmen. He was a true servant, but he never stirred up the deposit. He died a pauper. As a matter of fact, he borrowed to the point that he used his children as collateral. He said, now keep going. He says, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy hand hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. It was this new prophet that knew what he carried inside that delivered this woman and her children from being collateral. You won't mortgage the future of your children. Genuine lovers of God have breakthrough deposit in them, but a deposit is not equal to manifestation until it is stirred. A deposit is not equal to manifestation until there is a stirring. Very quickly this morning, what is love? What is love? Number one is love is denying oneself for Christ's sake. Love is denying oneself for Christ's sake. To deny means you don't recognize yourself again for the sake of Christ. To deny means it's not about you anymore, it's about Christ. To deny means to drop everything for someone else. So to deny means we are dropping everything for the sake of Christ. Take fasting as an example. The belly wants food, but you deny the belly the food for a greater goal. During fasting, the belly is craving, is crying for food. But you say, no, there is a greater goal ahead. I'm denying you the food because of the greater goal that lies ahead. Matthew chapter 16, 24 to 26. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Let him deny himself. If you truly want to follow me, deny yourself. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Those who are not denying themselves think that they are saving their lives, but the Bible, Jesus said, they are actually dying. It is those who are denying themselves that will live. He said, let him deny himself and let him carry my cross. He says, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then he said, Paul denied himself for Christ's sake and it paid off. Denial of self. Denial of self for Christ's sake means that whatsoever anybody does to you in church does not matter, because it's not you anymore. It's not about them. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about Christ. So what anybody does you, and it's not, you are not feeling it. Why? Because you have denied yourself. May the Lord give us understanding. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all. I am free. I know I'm not under any bondage, but because of Christ, I have made myself servant unto all that I might gain them all. And unto the Jews, I became a Jew that I might gain some of them. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. He said, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. And then he said, to the weak, I also became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might be, by all means, save some of them. For this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. It is not that you see, people will call you stupid. When you are doing what Paul said it's not because I'm stupid, it's because of Christ. I'm keeping quiet is not equal to stupidity. Keeping quiet is not equal, it is because of Christ that I am quiet. So it's not every war that you need to fight. Glory to God. Everything I'm doing is for the kingdom. Not that I enjoy them, but I'm enjoying them for Christ's sake. Deny yourself. Number two, what is love? A lifestyle of delightsome obedience. Love is a lifestyle of delightsome obedience. That means love is obeying God whether it is convenient or not. 1 John 5:3. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. He said, a proof of our sincere love for God is that we will obey. Psalms 112, and obedience transcends to generations, even yet unborn. Psalms 112, verses 1 to 3. He said, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. He says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. So breakthrough blessings of obedience are transgenerational. It cannot stop with your generation. It goes from one generation to another. It cannot stop with your own generation. It goes from one generation to another. But very quickly, because of time, what is in love that engenders breakthrough? When we say we are in love and our love has been confirmed, how will it result? What is special about love that will now result in breakthrough? Number one, genuine love steers our spirit for stewardship, both in season and out of season. Genuine lovers don't have a season of service or a season out of service. Every season is service season. Genuine love steers our spirit for stewardship, both in season and out of season. Look at what scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 6 to 7. He said, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the mystery of man is great upon him. Now, verse 7. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? I got an understanding of this scripture yesterday. When you go to a restaurant and the waiter comes to you, they will always come with a smile. Irrespective of what the previous customer did to them. Because if you are not wearing a smile, you don't know if the previous customer didn't give you anything, they even abused you, you are still wearing your smile because you don't know which one will work. So when this new customer comes, you are still all smiles, irrespective of the pain that is still inside you, because you know your tip depends on your smile. They are never out of season. She's angry right now because of what this previous customer just did. But because you are just coming in, the smile is constant. Why? Look at it. She doesn't know which customer will bless as a result of service. Your attitude now may ruin what this customer has in stock for you. Again, Paul said, I suffered a lot of things in service. Romans 8, 35 and 38. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. In other words, nothing can stop me in service. Nothing. Not even me can stop me. That's what Paul was saying. I'm not in service for you. I'm not in service for things. Paul said, I'm in service for love. And love is as strong as death. Nothing can stop me from service because I am not here because of you. Before I knew you, I knew Christ. I know Christ first, so my love for him will not, you can't give me what he will give me. So I'm not because of you now going to stop service. Glory to God. He said, and Paul now said in Acts 26, 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue. Irrespective of what they've been doing to me. He said, having now received help of God, I'm continuing this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Paul said, I have received help by grace to continue in service no matter the opposition. So love steers up our service in season and out of season. Lovers of God don't have a season when they don't serve. What is the breakthrough power of love? Number two, inside love is revelation power. Love provides access to revelation, and revelation engenders strength for exploits. Love, inside love is revelation power. We only reveal secrets to lovers. You don't reveal secrets to friends. You don't reveal secrets to acquaintances. You release secrets to lovers you trust. John 15, 15, Jesus speaking. He said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I will reveal secrets to lovers, and these secrets will result in their breakthroughs. Someone here, your season of breakthrough is finally here. Look at what lovers are entitled to. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. It said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. I will so reveal secrets to you that you will be so full, you will just begin to manifest. You will be, nothing will be out of place for you. Nothing will be out of place for my lovers. He said, revelation that results in the fullness of God. He says the result will be you will be full of God. So what God can do is what you will be able to do. Be filled with the fullness of God by revelation. I keep saying to us, you may have friends, all manner of people. There are some that you don't know where they live. You still call them your friends. There are some that you only meet at work. You still call them your friends. There are some friends that the friendship ends at the parking lot. There are some friends that the friendship cannot pass the living room. But there are friends that as they are coming, they are going to your bedroom straight. Those are the ones who tell secrets. Those are the ones that have seen you. Glory to God. Those are the ones you reveal secrets to. So God is also saying, when you are my friend, my true lover, I will reveal secrets to you that will make you know me. Everything about me will not be hidden from you. Daniel 11, 32, he says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong. And what will they do? Exploits. That will be the workings of your hands from now. What is in love that engenders breakthrough? Number three, love makes great things to keep happening on their own accord in the life of God's true lovers. Love makes great things to keep happening on their own accord in the life of God's true lovers. So true lovers don't need to beg for happenings of God. True lovers just watch it happen. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When our love is proven, he says in Romans 8:28, when your love has now been proven, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The opinion of workings of the enemy is irrelevant in the happenings of God lovers. The opinion of the workings of the enemy does not hold water when it comes to the life of God lovers. God will always turn it around in his lovers' favor. Whatsoever negative thing you may be seeing right now, after this service, it is turning to your favor. It is our covenant day of financial fortune. And somebody's financial story is also changing. Love is changing your financial story. Please take note. We serve a covenant-keeping God. We serve a covenant-keeping God. Psalms 89 and verse 34. It says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. We serve a covenant-keeping God who never fails. He said, my covenant can be likened to day and night. As long as day exists, my covenant is in force. As long as night exists, my covenant is still in force. The day you cease to see day and night, my covenant ceases. And is that possible? It says in Jeremiah 33, 20 to 21, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken. God told David, whatever covenant I make with anyone is a covenant. I won't change my mind, including the covenant of abundance. When it comes to the covenant of abundance, God is simply saying, any type of covenant I make is a covenant. My side is constant. Check your side if the covenant is not working. Check your side, because your side may be variable. And when it is variable, it will not work. My side remains constant. I refuse. I cannot change. Check your spot if it is working. Supernatural prosperity is a reward in a revival. And we are in the midst of a revival. So this is the time that by covenant, it releases supernatural prosperity on his people. Habakkuk 3:2. Oh Lord, I have heard that speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And we are in that midst of the year. And what will God do? Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 17. He said, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall be spread abroad. My cities through prosperity shall be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Supernatural prosperity will be a reward in the midst of the year. Financial prosperity will be the landmark of the end time church before Jesus comes. He said, this gospel shall be preached, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. But how will this gospel be preached? It will only spread by prosperity. You can only do, if you have a small store now, and you want your store in every province in Canada, then that one store must bring in money. One store commanding money, then you start another branch in another place, now two stores bringing in returns, then you start another one. God said, my prosperity plan is that every part of the world will hear about this gospel. I'm going to spread it abroad, but I need people I can trust to use. I will deposit it in their hands, and then they will be true enough and trustworthy enough to bring it out when I call for it. It's not for everybody, but I know you are included this time. Amen. God said to them when they were leaving Israel, He said, you are going to drain the Egyptians. There will be transference of wealth. They will transfer everything they have to you. What he didn't tell them is that he will call for it later. In the midst of the desert, God said, what I said you should take, bring some for me now. Some people still kept it behind. It's not your own. You were going to live in poverty. He let you live Egypt in prosperity. He said there will be transference of wealth. Even right now, there will be transference of wealth. Amen. If you believe it, your amen will show it. Amen. But how can we tap into this covenant of prosperity? How? Via the covenant of seed time and harvest. Covenant of what? Seed time and harvest. It is a covenant, but it requires our own side to be done. Without seed, there is no harvest. Any farmer that is afraid of releasing seed should forget about harvest. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. His design is for us to be prosperous. He became poor for us to be rich. That is the covenant. He became poor. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So what is it when we are not living in prosperity? It is called double jeopardy. Double jeopardy means somebody has already paid for it, you are paying again. You can't go to jail for the same sin, for the same crime, twice. It's impossible. As a matter of fact, it's impossible. Can never happen. For you to go to jail twice for the same sin is impossible. Jesus said, I already paid this thing. You can't go to Walmart now and somebody sees you and says, oh, what did they buy? Oh, $150. Don't worry, take it from my card. And then as you are going, you have your receipt. As you are going, somebody now said, no, you can't take these things out. You say, why? You say, because it's that man that paid. So what's your own? Somebody paid. You can't pay again. Somebody paid already. Say to yourself, I can never live in poverty again. I will never live in poverty again. That's why he died. Revelations 5:12. I'm trying to change some people's mentality now, because some things have been pumped into your system that makes you think that you cannot be prosperous. Revelations 5:12. It says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Power and what? Riches. If a covenant is that important, it is expedient to know what a covenant is. What is a covenant? Quickly, number one. A covenant is a deal enacted by God based on well-defined terms and sealed with an oath for delivery. A covenant is a deal enacted by God. So this covenant was not brought up by you. God designed it. Am I making sense here? God wrote out the covenant. It's a deal. This is a deal that God wrote by himself. He says a covenant is a deal enacted by God based on well-defined terms and sealed with an oath for delivery. It means a covenant is binding on God. Once your part is played, once my part is played, God makes good his part. Hebrews 6:13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Promises are cancelable. Covenants are binding. Promises are cancelable. Covenants are binding. I've shared this testimony with you before. Well, I don't know if it's a testimony. Of some people that I saw that I loved their ministry, and I promised them 20,000 naira every month in those days in Kaduna. And I was giving them that 20,000 naira diligently until I got fired from the bank. So they came to my house. They said, they didn't see the money. I said, I didn't receive anything. I got fired. So it is a promise, it's not a covenant. A promise is what you are able to do. You promised it. Even if you promise it, you are not able to do it. Nobody can hold you. It's not a covenant. A promise you can cancel, but not a covenant. A covenant is binding. When you have played your part, leave the other party to play theirs. Because it is binding. He said again, Psalm 89:34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Let's calm down a little. To cancel your Rogers or Taylors or AT&T contract will cost you when it is not yet time. Because you signed a contract. You can't say, the first thing they will ask you is, are you moving? You say yes. Where are you moving to? They will tell you to give them their address. Your address, your new address that you are going to. What are they doing? They are checking if they have service there. If they have service there, you can't cancel. You have a contract. And if you must cancel, you will pay. You can't cancel because you have a contract. So how would you now think that God will cancel his contract, his covenant? How would you think that God will renege on what he has said he wants to do? It's impossible. Says your neighbor is impossible. Number two, what is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between God and man, and God performs when man's obedience is in place. A covenant is an agreement between God and man, and God performs when man's obedience is in place. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers. He wants to establish that covenant. But abiding by the terms of the covenant makes him perform what he said he will do. Abiding by the terms of the covenant. Deuteronomy 28:1-2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt play your part, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I commanded this day, and all the blessings attached to the covenant shall come on thee. That means God's prosperity plan is not a promise, it is a covenant. And when we play our part by obedience, God commits to performing. This covenant is covenant of seed time and harvest. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also. How? Sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also. How? He which soweth nothing shall reap what? Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God that you have given to will now make all grace abound toward you, that then you will never lack, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Someone here, your season of frustration, financial frustration, is finally over. Amen. But to see the harvest, there has to be the obedience of seed sowing. Seed sowing. This covenant is superior to all prevailing circumstances. Take a look at what happened to them in Egypt. Genesis chapter 47:15-27. And when money failed in the land of Egypt, and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread. Take note, give us bread. For why should we die in thy presence? Because money faileth. And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give for your cattle if money fail. So you don't get, there is nothing free. Give us bread, well, give something for something. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of their herd, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came again and said unto him, we will not hide it from my Lord. How that our money is spent, my Lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord, but our bodies and our lands. And what did they say? Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread. And we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us what now? Seed. Their senses became correct. Give us bread. You have eaten the bread. You are coming again. Give us bread again. They gave you bread. You have eaten it again. He says, now, we don't just need bread. We need bread for survival now, but give us seed. It is only seed that can be multiplied. And so they said, Joseph said, okay, now that your heads have become correct, that we may live and not die. Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And keep going. 21. And as for the people, he removed from them cities of one end to the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priest bought he not, for the priest had a portion assigned them for Pharaoh. And they did eat their portion, which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, now take note, behold, I have bought you this day for your land, and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow. Don't eat this seed, it's not bread, oh. Because I know you are used to eating bread. If you eat this seed, you are dead. Keep going. And it shall come to pass in the increase, because the seed must always increase. In the increase of the seed that you will pay tithe. Glory to God. The increase of the field, you will see increase. But don't think that all the increase is for you. You will pay Pharaoh that gave you the seed. Look at it this way now. You will pay God your tithe that gave you the seed. You don't give tithe, you pay it because it's what you owe. We will get there in a minute. But those who sow don't sweat. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, my story is changing. That covenant keeps us alive in famine. While they were selling their bodies, Joseph was eating fat. There was nothing in the land of Goshen. Only prosperity in the land of Goshen. The covenant keeps us alive in famine. In the thick of COVID, some people made the best of money. In the thick of COVID, some people made their fortune during COVID. Psalm 33, 18 to 19. He said, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. So famine does not affect these ones, covenant practitioners. But take note very quickly as we get close to closing. Seven things when it comes to the covenant. Seven things to take note of when it comes to the covenant. Number one, the covenant of seed time and harvest have no regard for racial or regional discrimination. The covenant of seed time and harvest has no regard for racial or regional discrimination. So that God's servant, our father in the faith, usually says this, that you, somebody is poor is not because you are black. That, he says, lack is not synonymous with black. You can lack where you are coming from. You can lack here. You can lack where you are going to. It has nothing to do with your color. It has nothing to do with where you live. The covenant of seed time and harvest is available in all and every part of the world. In the poorest nations of the earth, there are still rich people there. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat shall not cease. It has no regard for race, region, or color. It only has regard for obedience. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. So everywhere the sole of your feet shall step, what happens? He has given to you. In whatever land you practice obedience, the covenant must answer. Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord overall is rich unto all that practice the covenant. Very quickly again, number two, giving must be in place for receiving to be in view. Giving must be in place for receiving to be in view. The covenant is null and void when it is not activated by giving. Giving must be in place. Otherwise, it will look like a mirage. It looks like it's coming, but you see there is nothing. It looks like it's going to rain, but then it clears off. Give it. You see, that's what many people don't want to hear in this part of the world. They don't like the message of giving. I hated this church before. They said, when I relocated to Kaduna, there was no church. The church I was attending. They said, but living faith is there. I said, no, I'm not going. They only talk about prosperity. The person said, don't you want to prosper? And the day I got there, guess what? They were talking about prosperity, but they were talking about the prosperity that can only proceed from above. I got an understanding that, what? The prosperity that is not corner, the prosperity that can only proceed from above. The prosperity that works by the covenant. If you are too stingy to give, you will be too lazy to harvest. If you are too stingy to give, you will be too lazy for harvest because you will be sleeping at the time of harvest and there will be nothing to harvest. Job 22. 21 to 27. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. He said, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. Lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then what happens? Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. But how will it start? Verse 27. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt what? Pay thy vows. It begins with giving. When seed is released, fruit is received. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall what? Be given unto thee. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again. Give, it shall be given. Who will give to you now? God said, I will command men to give to your bosom. Press down, shaking together. So it is now excess. It is out of the excess that you will be carrying to give again. And then it becomes excess again. You know where we are coming from? You know when you go to buy garri in those days? They will first of all level it. You press, you press, you press. You pour it on it again. You shake it. You press. You pour on it again until it becomes overflowing. But when you now want to sell, nobody can press. Glory to God. Number three, quickly. When it comes to the covenant, it is seed time and harvest. Have we talked about that? It is seed time and harvest. No farmer goes to the farm for harvest when there was no prior seed. Even God cannot ignore seed. Philippians 4, 15 to 19. Know ye Philippians, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And as a result, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You sow, you harvest like the farmer. You sow on the earth, God sends the harvest. The farmer has control over the seed, but he has no control over the harvest. Farmer has control over his seed. That's why even when it comes to souls, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but none of us have control over the harvest. God gave the increase. And when it comes to seed, seed will be directly proportional to the quality and quantity of the seed. For example, you can't plant corn now. If you plant corn now, in the next 3 months, you have harvested and you begin to eat your corn. Another 3 months, you clear the ground again. You plant corn. In 3 months, it comes out again, but it's not the same as cocoa. When you are planting cocoa, you have to wait minimum 4 years. But when you start eating, you eat forever. You don't need to go back again. So your seed, so many of you want the harvest now, like corn. How much are they selling corn? You want the harvest now. No, your seed, continue in it, because your seed may be cocoa. When the rain falls, even you will be calling people to help you out. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. If increase is on God's side, then drop the seed and let it go. The one that says it will increase, it will increase it. When it comes to harvest, to covenant number four, seeds are spiritual transactions that generate fearful favor from God. Fearful favor from God. And it came to pass when Abraham wanted to sacrifice his son. His son was a seed. That's the only one he had. God said to him, no, don't take the other one. I mean this one. And then Bible says in verse 8, 15 to 18, God called out from heaven. He said, no, because thou hast done this thing, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. I will multiply. Look at this very quickly. When God told Abraham to bring him, he said, bring your son. Glory to God. Bring your son. I mean Isaac. Bring him on the altar. But after the obedience, God said to him, thy seed is no longer, because you can't have one son anymore. Thy seed shall now be as the stars of heaven. Your seeds give birth to seed. So seed, that's why you can't count even Christians in this world right now. Seed brings out seed. So plant one, it becomes a tree. On that tree are fruits. Inside those fruits are seeds. You plant them again, it grows and until it becomes a forest. God said to him, no, it's no longer your son. It's now a seed. And it's a seed. What will that seed do? In thy seed, verse 18, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Your seed may have gone to a human, but it is answering in heaven. He said it's a spiritual transaction. So when we say something in where we are coming from, when you give somebody a goat, leave the rope with him. Don't be looking for the rope back. What does that mean? When you are sowing your seed, stop looking back. Hey, look at the basket. It's going, it's going. I know how I worked for that thing. You have lost the potency of that seed. Leave it. It's a spiritual transaction that answers only in heaven, and it answers with favor. Number five, seed gives us access to secrets of abundance. Seeds gives us access to secrets of abundance. That was what Job enjoyed. Job said in Job 29:4 to 11, he says that as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. And what did it result to? He says, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. What was Job's secret? Verse 12, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. He said it didn't end there. Verse 15, I was eyes to the blind, and feet I was to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out, and I break the jaws of the wicked, and plucked out whatever is in his teeth. Job said, the seed, the resource that God has given to me, I'm using as a blessing to others. I'm not just, it's not me, myself, and my family. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Number six, when it comes to the kingdom, to the covenant, it's a kingdom secret that is open secret. What does that mean? It is a secret that we are already teaching right now. So it's open secret, kingdom secret for kingdom prosperity that you are hearing now. If your heart only will be open, it now becomes your secret. Kingdom secret, which is open secret. Matthew 5:14-15, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So this secret cannot be hid. It is open secret made available to everybody. Number seven, quickly, if it can result in the testimony of one, it will result in the testimony of all. If it can result in the testimony of one, it will result in the testimony of all. He said in Matthew 13:37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And then he said, the testimonies, there was one man, one woman that had the issue of blood and went and touched Jesus. And when everybody heard that story, the Bible says everybody wanted to touch the hem of Jesus. Why? Because her testimony spread, and they knew that from her testimony, they can get their own testimony. In those days, God's servant, Bishop Thomas Aremu, will be sharing his testimony. Ah, you know, I love it when they transfer me, because it's another opportunity to have a property there. That's what he will be saying. And I'm looking at him like, ah, is that possible? Now he hires people for his estates. Estates. I love that testimony. I didn't forget it. Are you asking me if it is working? It's working. Glory to God. It is working. The testimony you plug into, that you don't say, how will that happen? You can't handle it. If you can't receive it, you can't handle it. And it is workable. You believe in that testimony. You plug into that testimony. You see it working in your own life. So if you see people, things are working for, just know that it can work for you. Do they have two heads? You know, one day, we were in Kaduna Church. He said, I prayed that I will forget 1 million naira in an account. I was inside. I said, how? He said, and then one day, they just reminded me that, you have so million in that account. And I saw it. I didn't forget that too. Shortly, a couple of years ago, I saw that in my own life. Now, I now went to Ibadan in 2021. I went to church. I just sat down at the gallery. I was watching this 2021. And then Bishop Aremu said again, very soon, you will forget 10 million in one account. I said, he has seen one. He's talking about 10 now. Very shortly, we'll be talking about 100. If you doubt it, you can't see it. The one saying it says, that's what I want to see. And he's seeing it. If you love the testimony, plug into it. Don't do, how will that happen? How will that happen? How will that happen? It will happen for those who say it and those who believe it. I say it will happen for you. Amen. It will happen for you. Amen. Well, as we close, how can we access divine secrets? Number one, be born again. If you are not born again, forget the prosperity that comes from above. It's only released to those in the kingdom. Be born again. Number two, be committed to walking in the fear of God. Walk in the fear of God. That is, you are not mixing or matching anything with what God says to do. Be committed to walking in the fear of God. Number three, possess a meek spirit. God will be careful to bless the proud because they will mess up. Possess a meek spirit. Meekness will always make great. Number four, stay in love with God all the time. Just like Paul said, stay in love with God all the time. Paul said, who shall separate us no matter the season? I'm in service, is what Paul is saying. And then finally, number five, maintain an open heart to receive the word. Maintain an open heart to receive the word. As the word is coming right now, let your heart be open to it. Let your heart be open. And finally, major ways that God opens the windows of heaven. In tithing. We have talked about it. In tithing. You know what tithe does? Tithe on tithe financial crunch. Tithe will on tithe financial crunch. Tithing changes financial stories. And also, if you are not a tither, you are not eligible for kingdom prosperity. And finally, kingdom advancement sacrifices. Engage kingdom advancement sacrifices. And when you are giving, please take note, like I said, give in love, give willingly, give cheerfully. Give in love, give willingly, give cheerfully. Whatsoever you cannot drop, take it. Give in love, give willingly, give cheerfully. Glory to God. And finally, as we leave, let me add this one, my own, which is, stop comparing yourself with yourselves. Stop comparison. The reason many are in suffering financial crunches right now is because of comparison. When did he come? He has bought 2022 Bentley. He has bought 2022 Bentley. I must buy 2023. And now you have the car now. It's like you should just go and be living inside the car. Because you have the financial crunch to even pay your rent. It's not there. You can't even pay rent anymore. Just go and park inside that car and be living inside it because you are driving a house. Wait for your time. Stop comparison. Somebody just bought a house, I must buy bigger. Why? What are you trying to prove? And who are you proving it to? Do you know what that person did to get it? Do you know how long they've been saving to get it? You walk with somebody else's time, you may not get to your destination. Rise up on your feet. Let's give God thanks this morning. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. We give you honor and adoration. We exalt your name. We magnify you. Thank you and thank you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Well, like I said, it begins with being born again. You want Jesus to help you. You want to see financial prosperity. You need to truly be born again. It will only be released to those who are in the house, those who are in the kingdom. Or somebody, your struggle is as a result of you walking out on God. Since you came to this nation, you have neglected the God of the walk. You are walking and you have forgotten about the God of the walk. He's saying, return to me. Return to me. If you want that paycheck to make sense, return to me. If you want me to breathe on it and let it not be a paycheck, so that it will come a time when you can't even remember that they are paid. Come to him this morning. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. You are in any of those two categories, wherever you have put your right hand on your heart, let me pray with you. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my personal Lord and my Savior. Someone else is saying, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate my life to you. The Lord bless you, my brother. Do it well if you are doing it. You are not, nobody's looking at you. It's between you and your God. It's between you and your Jesus. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to return to you, or Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Why not this morning? And if you are doing that, please repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them, the same grace will preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards, to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' most glorious name, we pray.